Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, a show designed to share spiritual insights with you so that you can comprehend the universe and how it functions. You are about to experience raised consciousness. This is a place where spiritual principles are shared with the goal of assisting you to expand your understanding of both the seen and unseen worlds. Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality helps you to discern the timeless truths handed down from wise sages through the ages from the airy-fairy nonsense that is being taught today. Now, here is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth.
Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, the radio show that disseminates esoteric knowledge and common sense spirituality. I'm Sharon Lynn Wyeth, creator of Namology Science, the ability to know all about a person's personality and their soul's purpose simply from their name. Now, the beautiful inspirational song you just heard the music to is called Shine by Dee Lamour. And as those of you that are used to coming to this show know, we always end with her beautiful song, The Shine. And it's also available, all of her music, on all streaming platforms, or you can just go to her website, dlemor.com, dlemor.com. Now, our topic today is how to create a spiritual money relationship based on freedom and abundance. What is your own natural yield concerning finances? Since you succeed when you have a relationship with money, we'll be discussing other attributes of relationships, like why we keep falling into the same old patterns with both our significant others and in our workplaces. And how does one's thoughts about themselves, yourself, affect all of your relationships? Now, our special guest today is Jennifer Euricio. Now, Jennifer Euricio is an intuitive, an author, teacher, and a speaker. She founded her own business, Blooming Grove Soul Languages Parent Company, in 2004 in response to her intuitive senses and ability to help others feel better about themselves, both holistically and naturally, and working closely with them to generate a feeling of strength and well-being. That's why she's called her website soullanguage.us. It's not a .com, so I want to stress that it's a .us. She specializes in helping people connect to themselves, to each other, and to the divine. She founded a new paradigm, Soul Language, which provides guidance for understanding our true nature and tools for accessing deeper levels of awareness. Now, this new insight into how the soul expresses itself is being embraced by top healers, lifestyle coaches, and CEOs all over the world as a method for helping people recognize their purpose and live from a place of power and truth. Her modalities of strength include soul language, essential oil, therapeutic kinesiology, and pranic healing, and among others. Her experience and her expertise has been profiled in magazine articles, on radio, and online. She's also conducted many guest teleclasses within the spiritual healing arena, as well as served as a guest speaker and delivered keynote speakers. Now, I was fortunate enough to meet Jennifer when we were both being interviewed on a radio show, and I was just so impressed with listening to what she was saying that I invited her here, hoping to share her with you all that are listening, which I really appreciate. So, Jennifer, welcome to Luminescence.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here. And my bio is a mouthful.
Yes, it is. You know, it is. It's just that I'm dyslexic, which a lot of people don't know. And so every once in a while, words start dancing in front of me, if that makes sense.
I understand that. I get that. I as a kid, I used to switch around my letters. I kind of moved out of it, but I totally get that. And it's just, as you were saying it, I was like, oh my God, I should whittle that down, this poor woman.
Well, all the words are good. It's just that they start dancing, and I go, okay, what is that word with all the letters scrambled? But for everybody that's dyslexic out there, if you have a colored transparency that you put over your pages, you know that your eyes don't dance as much and it's easier to read, and you want to test different colors because some color will work better for you than other colors. I figured that out when I was teaching to help people. But today I don't have my color sheet because I've been traveling, and I've been in Massachusetts this whole past week, and so I'm missing my color sheet. Oh, well. Okay, so we want to know, how do we create a spiritual money relationship based on freedom and abundance? How do we go about that?
Well, first of all, you have to come to the conclusion and you have to accept the fact that money, one, has no free will, and it's a resource from source, meaning whatever you call your higher power, money is a resource. It's an energetic tool for that thing called source, universe, tree, Bob, cupcake, to love you and for you to receive. And once you kind of got those two things down, then you can actually build on that foundation. But most people think money is this thing that they don't have any control over, but yet they do.
So do you build a relationship with money like by leaving it out? And so every time you walk by it, you can go, love you guys. Or
you
that when
do
you
that.
Spend it, you know, when you spend it, do you say, hey, come back with all your friends. We got a party at my house.
You can do that, but, you know, you want to start with that overarching belief around money, right? So if you just close your eyes and go, okay, what's your thought? What's your main thought when I say money? Is it a sustainable, which is going to bring you more, or is it a what people call a negative belief, right? A lot of us have, there's never enough money, there's never enough time, there's never enough, or money is the root of all evil, or money doesn't grow on trees. Actually, it kind of does because it's made out of paper. It's actually made out of linen, but that's a whole other story. Right? And so you really want to understand that fundamental belief, because that fundamental belief is driving your relationship with money. If you were having a relationship with money, say a romantic relationship or a best friend relationship, and you kept saying, oh, you're so evil, you're so evil, then that friend or that lover is never going to want to spend any time with you, right? So you really want to notice your fundamental kind of thoughts and belief systems around money. I think so many people do all of these money programs, but what one of the things that they don't kind of solve or heal is anytime money has broken their heart. And what I mean by that is if you feel money's let you down, if you feel you went through a bankruptcy, if you lost a contract, if you had money and then it went away, anytime money has broken your heart, then unless you heal that, you're creating that relationship based on a broken heart. So let's look at about like from dating, right? If you're starting to date and you keep thinking about on that date, that guy that broke your heart into a million pieces, there's not going to be any room for the new guy or new girl or new person in your life. So if you're getting some hits about, ooh, I have a little heartbreak around money, the first thing you want to do is you want to just take a deep breath and you want to declare right here, right now, I let go of any heartbreak. I have a willingness to heal it and see what happens in your system.
Oh, interesting. You know, I always thought about how we treated money. We always get it, we hide it. We put it in a wallet, we put it away. We, you know, it's how would you like to be invited to somebody's house and they go stay in the closet while you're here?
Right. You know? You're not allowed to play with me, right? And I think
a lot
of these relationships or a lot of these beliefs around money really didn't start with us, right? They started with our parents, and that really didn't start with them either. It started with their parents. And so it's really about allowing for this new, like, what do you want money and you to be, right? I love freedom. So anytime I think about money, I think, oh, money is so freeing, right? And that's what I'm putting into the relationship with between me and money. So, of course, money comes to me freely and easily without effort. And if it doesn't, don't move into panic. So often people are relying on money to keep them safe. And their safety is really an internal landscape. It's not an external thing. And once you start feeling really safe inside, I'm going to show you in a tool in a minute, then everything external kind of goes to that vibration. Most people don't do that. They consider externally ways to keep themselves safe. And this tool that I'm going to show you, even if you've never felt safe in your body, by using your body's lack of free will, because it doesn't have free will, if you ask it to raise its hand, it must comply if everything works, right? It's never going to go, get back to me tomorrow, Jenna. I don't want to do it today. It's just not. So when we use our body's lack of free will to put us in a consciousness of safety, even if we've never experienced that, if you kind of get on that bus, it will do that. And simply this, divine intelligence, fill me with the feeling and knowing that I am safe. And then just feel what that feels like. And anytime you think about money, you activate that.
What about affirmations? Like, I know some people have affirmations like, I'm a money magnet, or money comes to me easily and often. You know, do affirmations work?
Affirmations work if you keep saying them over time, because, again, that body doesn't have free will. So the body goes, oh, you're telling me? Okay, great. What I love to do is an activation, which is utilizing the body's lack of free will actually to turn something on like a superpower. The problem with affirmations as well is if you keep saying the affirmation and your actions aren't lining up, then you're kind of negating what you're trying to tell the universe and the divine to kind of bend towards your will. And I'll give you an example. If you say that you're living a life of abundance and ease and grace, and then you go to the supermarket and you spend an hour looking over 16 different types of sugar to try to get the one that's the least expensive, and you're spending time in the sugar hour going over in your head, should you get the $1.29 one or the $1.30 one, then you're not actually taking actions that you're abundance. And I'm not talking about going and buying, you know, a Bentley, but what I'm talking about is your physical actions aren't lining up with that I am abundant. So if you're going to say affirmations, you also have to be conscious of noticing what actions you're taking. I love this. The universe doesn't have free will. It operates on your will, and it wants to support you, right? That universe, God, goo, whatever you want to call it. That God goo loves good noise pollution, meaning you want to keep frequently declaring what you want to be as so. So it's like this. If the universe keeps hearing time and time again and frequently and often, I'm abundant, I'm abundant, I'm abundant. Look, I took an action. I'm abundant, I'm abundant, I'm abundant. Then that's the largest thing that the universe is hearing. So if there's a moment where you go, oh, my God, look at my bank account. What am I doing? The universe goes, oh, wait, yeah, that must have just been a blip because Jennifer keeps saying how abundant she is. So let's just keep giving her opportunities to experience that. So it's really about creating this lovely, beautiful dance around this relationship with money and understanding that you are the powerhouse when it comes to your relationship with money. Most people think that their powerlessness or their powerlessness around money rather than that's your powerhouse. You can change that relationship. Money doesn't have control over you. You have control over money.
So I think it's important to know that a belief is simply a thought that's redundant that you think over and over again. So if you're having a hard time believing that you are abundant with money or money comes in abundance, that you just repeat it often enough until you do believe it. anytime I wanted to change a belief of mine, I literally write it with lipstick on the bathroom mirror so that every time you go in to use the restroom, you're passing by that statement and you consciously and unconsciously take it in because you read it because it's written in lipstick on the bathroom mirror. And it comes off fairly easily, guys.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like, you know, you could do that with stickies as well, but you want to move that sticky every week or it becomes like the lampshade in your house. Like, oh my God, have we always had that lampshade? Yeah, it's been there for years. You just noticed it, right? So if you're going to do the affirmations and reading, I love the lipstick because it's so shocking, like you can't help but read it, right? But if you want to do it with stickies, move the sticky around your house in different places so it goes noticed rather than unnoticed.
Oh, good point. Now, what if your parents never talk about money, and so when you got out in the world, you had no clue?
Well, then there's all of those issues around we don't talk about it and shame and being afraid to talk about it. So to change that relationship, I would sit down and come up in your quiet time, up with an image about money and start to have an ongoing dialogue with money. So every day you sit down with money and go, okay, so what do you want me to know? How can I support you? How can you support me? How can we grow together? What do I believe that's not supporting money coming into my life? What can I believe that money will come into my life? And really start to change and talk about it more. And then when you really want to take it to the next level, sit down and have a conversation with someone you love and trust around money. Just go, listen, I need you to be witness me. I want to have a conversation with you around money so I can actually start to talk about money. That's why group programs with money are so great, because you actually have to talk and share.
Would that work too if you sat down with a friend, across from a friend, and you said, you be money for me and I'm going to talk to you and you can talk back to me. You role play.
Yeah, I think it would totally work. I mean, both of my parents were bankers, right? I knew what compound interest was before I was 3. And yet, I still have my money issues, right? I would frequently, as a younger adult, blow up at bank tellers. Why do you think that was? Because I was overlaying my relationship with my parents with money. And so you really want to start to, and here's the thing, as you change your relationship with money and your beliefs around money, it's also going to change all the other beliefs, right? Because the way you do
one thing. Oh, we need to talk about that right after the break. Okay, guys, stay tuned. We will be right back to talk about how changing your money relationship with money changes relationships with others also. Stay tuned.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Mark Twain said the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The why is hidden in your name. Sharon Lynn Wyeth has created a scientific way of deciphering your name to reveal your contract for this lifetime. And your name even specifies the 7 areas that are subsets of your soul's overall goal. Your name identifies who you are to both yourself and others. What does your name say about you? Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for your stunning name review.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. You're listening to Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Jennifer Euricio, and her website is soullanguage.us. And again, soul is S-O-U-L, language is spelled the normal way, but it's .us, not .com. Okay, so right before the break, you were going to go into another area, Jennifer, and I had to stop you for our commercial. So go ahead and please continue with what you were going to tell us.
Yeah, as you change your relationship with money, you know, and those limiting beliefs, you have this dominant limiting belief. So as you change that, all of the other relationships and beliefs that are limiting you are going to transform at the same time. The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. You know, so my predominant limiting belief I got to, yay me, failure and self-worth. So I know when I'm struggling that in somewhere in my system, I believe I'm failing and I believe I'm unworthy or not enough. And so I know that those are what I'm bringing to the game and into every relationship I have and into my relationship with money. So that means then I have to pause and I have to go, okay, let's use some tools. So do I activate that I'm enough? Because that's a great tool. Do I sit down and pause and have this conversation with money? Do I look and see why I'm being triggered here about not enough? Do I have to sit down and have a conversation with the divine to hear from the divine again how I'm enough and how I'm succeeding? I think it's really important that people are consistent with their tools and have their favorites and then have some ones that they take out when all the other tools aren't working. And so one of the things that I love to do around money is I love doing my bills. It makes me feel so grown up. I'm 51, by the way. It makes me feel so grown up, and it makes me so happy that my money is paying all those people who then get to buy stuff for their kids or go on vacation or whatever they do, and it always feels really, really wonderful. So one of the tangible tools that I talk about, and Jennifer Bloom talks about because we created a whole course coming back after Money Broke Your Heart, is we talk about getting real with your finances. And this is one of the things that people don't want to look at. They want to change their relationship with money, and they don't want to accept where they are. They just kind of want to hide and be in a hole. So it's really about keep filling yourself with safety, and let's pull it out. Let's see what you're paying per month, where you're spending your money, where there's energetic holes, what's going on, you know, like, let's just say, like, do you owe taxes? Because that's an energetic hole, right? And how do you address that? Are you spending money unknowingly on those subscription things and not using them? That's an energetic leak. It's actually not sustaining your relationship with money. So let's look at it. And let's know that that's our past that we created, and we can create something new now. But if you don't know where you are and you're not accepting where you are with money, how can you actually transform it?
Good question. There's a feng shui idea that you put when you're standing in your doorway to any room. Your back left corner is your feng shui money corner, so that you hang a mobile there that either has gold on it or a fish. Or you have a dish that's like a gold dish or candlesticks, but if you have a gold dish, but whatever's on that corner, you need to be leaving money out so that you can see it, so that money attracts money. What do you think about that concept?
I think it's great. First of all, I think it works with feng shui works because all of those things don't have free will, and you can talk to those things and find out energetically wise. How would it support more flow? And if you believe that you pass money in your spot every day and that's going to bring in more money, then that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, I think it's the Italians that say when you have an itchy palm, money's coming, right? So every time right. I get an itchy palm, I go, Warner, he's my boyfriend. I'm like, Warner, look, more money's coming, right? But I believe it. So, of course, it happens, right? You know, there's a show on Netflix called How to Become a Tyrant, which is a fascinating show. But The number one way that you become a tyrant is through belief. And I was like, okay, that's really bad, but really we can use this for consciousness. And I think if you want to change your relationship with money, then you have to know you're worthy to do so and know that money's a resource for you and that you deserve to have a life full of flow and ease with money and freedom around it.
You know, that's really interesting. When I got through teaching, and as many people don't realize how low most teachers are paid, and when they hear that, oh, look at all the money that they're getting, but they don't realize the living cost in that particular part of the world or that particular state, you know, that teachers are still poorly paid for the expenses of that particular state. For an example, I had 40 years in education, and I was making less than $3,000 a month. And so people don't understand how poorly you can be paid in some states in our union. And so when I got out, I said, okay, this is not going to work for me anymore. So for 6 months, I wrote 10 times every day, I so thank you for doubling my income. I so thank you, God and the universe, for doubling my income. And I wrote 10 sentences every day. And then I wrote 10 other sentences on everything else I was grateful for. Mm. Now, it took me a while to get there, but it worked and it's successful. So I want to encourage everybody, if that's an easier way for you to change your beliefs, is just start with what I call your gratitude journal, and you start thanking God for the money that is coming in. And it's because I moved to a different state, and then there's different expenses in that state, you know. And so I just started thanking God for providing for me what I wanted to have as if I already had it.
Yeah, and declare, then I thanked God. Declare.
Yes, and then thanking God also for the fabulous people in my life, you know, because I'm so grateful. And so that's another way of doing it. Jennifer, you call something a natural yield concerning finances. What do you mean by a natural yield?
You know, I think that so often when people understand that they're one with everything, that becomes the easy to understand and easy to have. It allows people to really understand their essential nature. And your essential nature is here to be loved, be supported, and to receive. So it creates this, you know, it's your right to have the resource of money. It's a source from the divine. No one holds that the right for you to receive other than you. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, because the number one rule of the universe is we are responsible for all of our own actions and thoughts. So it means that we've got to do this for ourselves, and then we take responsibility for it.
Definitely. And so, if you're not, that's okay, too. You can self-correct.
Right. I call it the do-overs. Just give yourself unlimited do-overs. Okay. So, I want to talk about attributes of relationships in general, because you're really good at that too. We've talked some about your relationship with money, but let's talk about attributes of relationships and why we keep falling into the same old patterns, like first with significant others, and then we'll talk about with our workplaces.
I think that we fall, you know, I have this theory that we're really only surrounded by five energies of the universe, right? And I think we fall into these energetic patterns. So, you know, you recognize an energy signature, especially with soul languages. That's something I created, right? Let's just say your mom had the soul language energy of mentor, right? That's a mission language, right? So you're going to recognize that energy for good or for bad. And as you recognize that energy, you fall into the patterns of relating with that energy that you would have done with your mom or your dad. And until you have the awareness to pause and to stop and to put something new into the relationship field, you keep operating on automatic pilot. And so it becomes this, oh, here's this energy. Oh, I know that energy. And when this energy does that, I normally do this. And so I'm just going to fall into that pattern instead of saying, oh, when this energy does that, I'm going to do this. My mom is a negotiator. That's her mission language. She's all about creating new deals. And I notice that mom wants to negotiate everything. And so when mom tries to negotiate things, I used to be like, no, you're totally wrong. Instead, one time when I came out, I was staying over at her house, and I came out, this was like 10, 15 years ago, I came out of the bedroom with this lipstick on, and she's like, I hate that lipstick. And I was like, oh, now. I could have gotten upset. I could have hurt. I could have gotten mad. I could have, you know, been snippy. I could have gone into all of the things that I would have gone to. And listen, my mom's a great mom, right? But she's still human. So I paused and I went, oh, I really like it. And I watched my mom do something different because I did something different. My mom went, oh, let me tell you why I hate that lipstick. It's not because it's on you or you look good in it. I hate it because it reminds me of so-and-so. And when she said that, I actually understood why she hated that lipstick, because that person has always been mean to my mom, right? So when people are falling into these energetic patterns, it's because they're kind of on this highway, and they're choosing not to get off and make something new or a new choice. They kind of fall into those old habits. In order to transform your life or to have more or to have something better, you have to choose to do something different.
Yeah, I love that part, though, that it's your choice. And this sounds a little bit off topic, but I remember when it dawned on me that every day when I woke up, it was my choice to be happy or not to be happy. It was my choice how my day was going to go. Okay, so you said there's five. You mentioned a mentor. You mentioned a negotiator.
But no, what I meant by five core energies of soul, there's actually 107 core energies of soul, but what I meant, those five energies, it's really like this. I think we collect energies. So I think we collect probably about 5 or 10, 15 energies and go, these are the people, these are the energies that we love to hang out with. And so unless you heal the conflicts within those stables of energy, you're never going to attract something new. You're never going to welcome in more abundance, more grace, more love, right? For example, go ahead.
Go for it. No, go for it.
For example, I used to hire people to be my assistant that I identify their soul languages, and they were all negotiators. Now, remember my mom was a negotiator? That was her mission language, right?
Right.
The paradigm for soul language. And I thought, yay, they're going to help me create new stuff. No, no, no. I was trying to heal my mommy things with my assistants instead of healing my mom thing with me internally. And when I did that, I hired this, who's been with me for years, hired this amazing woman who's not a negotiator, and who we work and we collaborate beautifully together, right? So that's what I mean. I think people collect a bunch of energies that they kind of stick with. And unless they're willing to transform or move past their programming, they're kind of going to be stuck with those core energies and not really experience the fullness of life.
Okay, so I have a question on that, because I always heard that the first person that we date that we just really think is fabulous will either have mom or dad energies, and then the second person that we date that we just think is fabulous will have the other parent's energies, and that we're always encouraged to not marry one of those two but to go for the third. What do you think? is that the old energy patterns and we're trying to get a new
one? I think that is a perfect example of old energy patterns as well. I think that, you know, if we're moving into consciousness, what happens is we will be in a relationship with someone who has the best attributes of our mother and the best attributes of our father, right? And when the ickiness appears, we're consciously moving through it and we're consciously talking. I will sometimes look at Warner and go, oh my God, you're my dad. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, he'll say something, I'll be like, I wish you'd met my dad, because he would have said the exact same thing. And sometimes he'll say something and I'll be like, oh, my mom would have said that. And then sometimes he says something, I'm like, I've asked him and my best friend the same question, like for guidance or for support, and they answer me the exact same way, brilliantly. And those are all the good parts of all those energies. You know, I think the best thing to really create conscious relationships is really continue to ask yourself, am I responding from the place of knowing I'm whole and complete? Or am I responding from the place of pain and programming? Because if you're responding from the place of pain and programming, you're not going to create a conscious relationship. It's not going to be free. It's going to be struggle and pain.
Wow. When we come back from this next break, we're going to talk about how one's thoughts about oneself affect all of our relationships. Stay tuned.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Are you feeling lost, confused, absolutely clueless? No way out, over, under, or through? Then it's time to have the Light Keepers, through their conduit, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, guide you by shining their light, illuminating the right path for you. Let Sharon share the wisdom of the ancient masters to guide you on what is coming next for you and to show you the silver lining in your current circumstances. Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for a joyful, info-packed Lightkeepers session.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. I'm Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Jennifer Euricio, and her website is soullanguage.us or .us, however you want to look at it, and soul is S-O-U-L, language.us. Before we get into, Jennifer, how our thoughts about ourselves affect our relationships, what are you offering right now on your website? What's coming up next that people might be interested in?
You know, I love to do this thing where I'm a master prayer writer, so I will write a prayer, an affirmative prayer, which you can use as a manifestation tool to declare and activate what you want. I offer the ability to write a personal prayer for you for $20. I freaking love doing that because it really supports a lot of people with ease and with grace, and it allows people to take a action and a commitment and to change a lot of things by, you know, focusing on a 3 or 4 paragraph prayer each day to transform their lives. So that's under my prayer section on my website.
Oh, now that's really cool and very, very reasonable. Okay, now we're all fascinated by how do our thoughts about ourselves affect our relationships? And if we're not happy with what kind of relationships we're attracting to ourselves, how do we change that?
I think the main thing is when we're not happy with the relationships that we're attracting is to really, so I'm going to give you a tangible example. So I moved one house over on the same street about 10 years ago, and my downstairs neighbor, because the walls were very thin, would be having the same yelling, screaming argument with every person in her life, which went like this: "You don't hear me. I'm never heard by you." So she would be having the same conversation with her mom and her dad and her friend. And I so badly wanted to go down and say, "Have you not noticed that the common denominator of all those conversations are you?" And what was really happening was that she really wasn't hearing and seeing and really focusing on herself. And so it was reflected in every relationship she has. When we have a loving, compassionate relationship with ourselves, we are going to make choices that are in alignment with that, right? So before I met the lovely and talented Warner Langlois, I had a relationship with this guy who was not a nice person. And years later, when I told Warner this, he's like, "How? That doesn't even make sense of everything I know about you." And I said, "Well, when I was having that relationship, I go, I did not love myself like I love myself now. And it reflected in my relationships." So if you want to transform your relationship, you have to start to transform how you feel and how you think about yourself. And most of the time, we spend a lot of time in our heads judging ourselves, being negative with ourselves, not saying kind things. So if you notice in your head that you're judging yourself, the easiest thing to do is to pause and go, "Okay, I have a willingness to love myself. I have a willingness to love myself." And then you can notice the actions you're taking. You can go, "Okay, if I do this action, is it a loving action or is it an action full of judgment?" And just start slowly.
Wow. So let's say that you really don't like a certain aspect of yourself, or, you know, is it helpful to have a good enough friend that you can say, "This one's going to always point it out to me"? I'm asking that because I have one of my clients that has been one of my clients for almost 30 years, and he has attempted suicide quite a few times before he met me. And I will say that he's only done it once in the last 15 years that I've been working with him, and that's when he couldn't get a hold of me within 3 days because I was traveling. And when he does something, just yesterday he called me up and he said, "I got into a fight with this guy." And I said, "Okay, what happened?" And he said, "He asked me to move over and I didn't want to. And so we got into a fight about it." And I simply asked him, I said, "Would it have hurt you? Would it have damaged you in some way for you to have simply slid over and moved over a little bit?" And he goes, "No." And I said, "Guess what? This time you were wrong. You need to go apologize." And so that was yesterday. And today, right before the show, I called him and I said, "So how's it going with this guy? You know, are you guys good again or what happened?" And he said, "Oh, he was so gracious when I apologized and we're back to being good." And I thought, everybody needs somebody that they can call that calls them on their stuff and says, "You know, this time you were wrong, you know?"
Yeah.
Or even if you had appropriate action, there's still another action you can take. Would you advise everybody to find somebody like that if they're having a hard time doing that for themselves?
Yes, and I think you need to find the appropriate one, right? So you're not going to have that person be someone who periodically makes you feel horrible about yourself, right? You're not going to turn to that person that has verbally abused you in the past. You need to talk to someone who is going to, with love and compassion, go, "I love you, and you could have done better. Let's talk about it, right? Talk about how we do it." You know, I think so often people choose the wrong person. They choose that energy that they're used to trying to get to love them, right? You get to choose energy that you know is going to love you and love you enough to compassionately say, "This isn't working for you. What do you want to do?" And that might be a therapist, it might be a coach, it might be a best friend, right? I think we all need that person. I have that person, and I have several people. And when I need a shift that I know that, you know, it's inappropriate to ask my council of friends for support, then I pay someone, right? But I'm very picky about who I work with because I know that I want someone who's going to words and action measure up, to be full of courage, to be full of grace, not to have their own personal stuff, you know, come into the relationship or the session time. So, you know, we all need that support team. We all need those people that are truly going to love and support us and truly allow us or hold the space for the best parts of ourselves. And I think so many of us don't have that. And I'm glad that this person has you.
Well, his mom established it a long time ago. And she was very concerned about her own health. And she said, what's going to happen when I pass? And will you still work with my son? And I said, you know what? I'll continue to work with him, and you don't have to pay me for that.
Beautiful.
You know, you've paid me all these years. Whenever that happens, you know, I'll be the constant in his life. And bless his heart, we've gotten it down. It used to be every day for 10 or 15 minutes, and we've gotten it down to once a week. So I really do think he's improving. And like I said, now it's been about 10 years, and he has not attempted to kill himself again, even though I've been working with him longer than that. And so, and we've even worked it out, too, that if I'm traveling and he gets in a situation where he's really feeling, you know, poorly about himself and it doesn't happen as much anymore, that he now can wait 3 or 4 days if I need to get back to him, because I've been so consistent, he knows I will. But I think you're right, Jennifer. You need somebody who's going to be very consistent. And even if it's somebody you put on retainer and say, hey, I just need 5 minutes today.
Yeah, it's important. And it's someone who's going to show up and allow you to build trust and find new relationships that work. Because most of the time we go out and we try to create a new relationship, but it's with the old energy, right? It might be a new person, but it's that energy that you're so comfortable with. And so the autopilot, what happens then in relationships in general to you happens again. And then you feel like, oh my God, you know, when is anyone going to love me or support me? You know, sometimes you just got to choose better people.
So we're starting to run out of time, and I want to give you an opportunity, Jennifer, to say whatever you'd like to say to our listeners that I have not asked. What is really important about money and relationships that you would like everybody to know?
I think it's really important to create based on the fundamental belief that you are whole and complete. When you do that, that allows for more wholeness and completeness to be experienced through relationships or money. If you're creating based on any sort of lack, whether it's relationships or with money, 9 out of 10 times that's what you're going to get back. There's no judgment, but just think of it as silly putty, right? If you put the silly putty on paper, it comes off with the newsprint. So what do you want to put your silly putty towards? Because that's what you're going to get back.
Oh, that's a great analogy. So everybody can reach you at soullanguage.us, okay? And you tell us again about this $20 deal.
Sure. It's a mini prayer session, and it's under the prayer part of my website. It's pretty easy to find.
Which sounds absolutely fabulous. One last quickie question I want to sneak in here for you, Jennifer, is if they had a full session with you, because I know you give long sessions too, what is it that the first time somebody's working with you, what is it that they would receive?
They're going to understand their core energies of soul. They're going to have a way to actually consciously connect to their soul, to put goodness into everything they do. They're going to have words to finally put what they know deep down inside. And they're going to have a deeper sense of safety and a deeper sense of knowing that it is their right to experience anything that they want to and be able to take those divinely inspired actions to receive it.
You know, I always think the best time to call somebody with your gifts and talents is when you're feeling down, because you come away feeling uplifted. And the second best time to call is when you're feeling so good about yourself, because that's when it's easiest to hear that we could change this and your life could continue to get better. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you want more goodness, it's a great time, right? Like, you know, I always say, listen, you want to do sacred practice because sacred practice confirms and gives you the foundation so when you have a challenge, the dip is very low, not a big dip.
Oh, that's a good way of saying it. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for being with us. Everybody, this is Jennifer Euricio, and her website is soullanguage.us. And now you guys can see why when I heard her on a different radio show, I wanted to share her with you all. Next week will be quite interesting. We have Bart Smith, but I'm sure he doesn't pronounce it Smith because it's a Y instead of an I, and he's from Sweden. And so he will be with us. He is a shaman, and he's going to be talking to us about different ways of changing energy to make our lives better and different energy practices that we can do ourselves that are not difficult that will make a great effect with us. I want to thank you again for joining me. As always, I so appreciate you listening. And this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth signing off.
Gazing in the mirror, an image of an angel smiling back at her. No wounds or imperfections, just beauty and its glow. Her laughter and her heart, a reflection of her soul. And I want to shine like the sun and smile to stop the rain. And I want to dance with the wind and believe in dreams again. Of her, the light slightly dimmed, her reflection unseen, and all that she knew, and all that would be, it vanished like the sun rays on a shimmering sea.